Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufy.com, E-U-F-Y.com for more information. They're online for Amazon. You can get them at Best Buy stores starting around May 20th. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver. No drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. You can get it on Amazon or Best Buy stores starting around May 20th. EUFY.com. That's Eufy.com. All right, folks, the live stream of the Eric Zane Show podcast brought to you by, of course, sponsors of plenty, A&E Heating and Cooling. Joe Martinez at A&E Heating and Cooling, 616-516-8579. That is his number. If you want to get in touch with Joe, if you get in the weeds, anything heating and cooling-wise, he's got you covered. All right, aeheatingcooling.net, serving all of the West Michigan neck of the woods. He utilizes the Comfort Maker, air conditioners and furnaces, comfort with confidence. Joe Martinez, thank you for being on board with the show. It's been hot as hell, man. Damn it. Is there anything better than when it's like 95 degrees out? Even walking into a house that's cooled only to like 77 degrees is like still ice cubes. Because I'm like a cheap bastard that keeps it like only at 77 because I just don't want to pay for, keeping it down to 67. And then at night, then I splurge because you cannot sweat while you sleep. Is there anything more gross than waking up to like a puddle of slime while you're sleeping? Thank you to Joe for keeping me away from slime. Terrytown RV is the RV dealership of choice on the podcast. They are on Division between 68th and 76th Street. Check them out online at terrytownrv.com. Find something you like online. Go see it in person. TerrytownRV.com for a travel trailer, fifth wheel, motorhome, Class A, Class C, diesel, gas, Sprinter van, you name it, they've got it. They're the biggest. They are the best. They're like screaming to the manufacturers these days, like, hey, would you please make some more? All of America is buying RVs. They even have customers coming in from out of state. Okay. So that is Terrytown RV online at TerrytownRV.com. It is Monday, the 27th of July, 2020. On your mark, get set, go!
And now, here's a guy who has never won a congeniality award at any radio station anywhere.
I will fight you in the street.
It's the Eric Zane Show podcast with your host, Eric Zane.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Welcome in. Here we go. Another glorious adventure that we begin on right now. Man, I'm not going to lie to you. It was a pain in the ass getting up today. Did you hear that news that Trump said, all right, I'm going to make you get up. I'm going to make you get up and go to work. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to end that $600 a week that you've been earning. That's set to expire at the end of the month. Sorry to break the bad news to you. He's like, well, yeah, it makes you want to stay home. If I extend that even further, you're actually making more money at home. He's like, get your ass out there and work. But people are like, ah, fuck, I don't want to, man. Hate to break the bad news to you. We've got a lot of ground to cover on the show today. A Nazi swastika mask. Did you see this? Oh, boy. What is up? I mean, people are so dumb. What we've been faced with is the people outing themselves as just being the dumbest people on the planet. We'll get into that. We must stop shooting the messenger. Okay, I'll explain what this is all about. We've got teenagers that are like, what the hell? Can we please get business owners to start policing their business a little more? I know if I owned a business where people were coming in from the street, I would have things in place so that my teenage staff at the ice cream shop would not have to deal with these angry assholes. The statue teardown talk is back, unfortunately. I don't like this. I thought this had fizzled out. It has not fizzled out at all. Damn it. Sorry. We had a socially distant party on Friday with the Zaniacs. Socially distant, sort of, I guess, maybe a little. Everybody loves Regis. Oh my gosh. Rest in peace, Regis Philbin. Did you hear about this? 80, I think it was 88 years old, veteran. One of the most beloved figures that has ever been in entertainment, for the most part on TV, and just an incredible life. If there's anybody who disliked Regis Philbin, there's something wrong with you. Really, really nice guy, and it just shined through in his life. We'll talk about him in a little bit. A couple of interesting things I noticed about Regis. Typically, when somebody dies like this, I just open up the wiki page and just read it. And it's like, you know what? Find something interesting about this guy that everybody loved. And I did. I passed away over the weekend. I'm watching an amazing TV show on HBO. And I cannot wait to talk about it with you with as best as I can. I hate like really getting into it and talking specifically, but it's a true story. It's not just based on some events that are similar. It's a true story, minute by minute. So it was to be depicted in a television dramatization, an HBO dramatization. Is really saying something. And I don't think that there's that much that was embellished, to steal a term from my dad, in any way, shape, or form. Got a great email that I need to read to you from listener Ken about my discussion last week about Kanye West and the bipolar disorder. Okay, I'm going to get into that. A woman tries to hire a hitman. Now, if you ever think about it, hiring someone to kill someone is a serious, serious risk. You know, the second you do that and spill the beans on yourself and hire the hitman or think about it or even approach someone about it, you run the risk that they're going to say, yeah, no, I don't think so. Now, I have no idea where I would start if I wanted to hire a hitman. I just look for somebody who looks seedy. Go to the biker bar and pick one guy out and stereotype him and say, he looks like someone who would kill somebody. No. Well, did you know there's a website for it? Kind of. This lady outs herself. Couple of things. Zane, why do you have this stupid wrist guard on? Yeah, I know. I self-diagnosed myself. Especially last week when I was at the Roving Fear Bunker. By the way, we are in the Metalworks Body Shop Fear Bunker studio. Forgot to mention that to start the show. Thank you very much to Metalworks Body Shop. In fact, all right. So yeah, when I was in the Roving Fear Bunker studio, my hands were like higher than normal. And I think I really did something with my wrist, but the extended, and they've been bugging me right at the bottom of the palm, right where the right where the wrist meets. I combine meat and wrist to give you mist. Right where the wrist meets the bottom of the palm. It's been, both hands have been like hurting me. The left more than the right. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I read that when you rest the bottom, that spot on anything while you're at a keyboard, you're putting constant pressure on this nerve right here. And this is what carpal tunnel syndrome is. And I'm like, holy shit. Well, I think I've got it. And it sucks, man, because you can't do anything. And the second you bump it, if you will, it's dull pain, but it's there. And it's a real nuisance. It just sucks. And supposedly there's some type of surgery they do where they go in and like, I don't know, I have no idea what they would do, like put some type of manipulation, or they cut the tendon. I don't even know what the surgery is, frankly, but I'm like, fuck, I do not want to go under the knife for anything. I am not interested in that in any way, shape, or form. So I'm reading that there are some treatments for it. And one of the things they talk about is this wrist brace, and it keeps the wrist from like moving. And you want to, apparently, when you're typing, you're supposed to keep your wrists up high anyway. You're not supposed to do what I've been doing, and that is rest them down. I guarantee you, by the time this podcast is done, I'm going to have all sorts of emails from people who suffer from this on the Green Clean Technologies inbox, eric@ericzancho.com, about what people have had to do to endure this horseshit. But, oh boy, it is not fun. So that's it. And Jackie laughed in my face. She goes, you self-diagnosed yourself? Who does that? I go, well, what do you mean, who does that? That happens all the time. Come on. I mean, it's not like I decided I've got cancer, for God's sake. It's freaking carpal tunnel. It meets all of the criteria. I'm sure that's what it is. And I don't want to go and spend the money on a doc to just tell me what I already know. So I'm being completely stubborn about this till further notice. I'll keep you updated. Speaking of medical things, let's update you on friend of the show, friend of yours, friend of mine, Stu McAllister. All right. Stu was like, I am 100% sure I have COVID. So I've been checking on him twice a day. Morning, night, Stu. How are you? How are you? No change. Still feel like shit. Hurts to breathe, fever. So he gets the COVID test, and then he reveals to me not long ago, negative, does not have it. And then he threw out there that there might be something known as a false positive, which means I don't know how that works. But he's also got some, I don't want to say it, but he had... some other friends were speculating that he might have another issue. So basically, Stu is sick as shit, and he's not sure what the hell is going on, but he just feels terrible. So that's all I know. All right. So Stu McAllister and the wrist thing, Friday after the show, what a day it was. My God, I've got some, as I finished the show up on Friday, and we had a hell of a time talking on Friday, there was a list of things that I still had to do, and that was involving my mother and my dad. So I wrapped up the show, I quickly got my act together, and I had to get out on the road to see my mom. Now, it was a little different on Friday, like I said, because I had to basically drive to the old folks' home, towing a car, get to the old folks' home to pick up my mom, take the car off of the ramp as fast as I can, and then drive around the corner to pick up my mom. All right, great. O'Neill is in the RV, generator on, AC on. That all went perfectly. I did everything I needed to do. I even had time to get O'Neill out of the motorhome, take him for a little walk. He makes a caw-caw. It was great. Everything's working out awesome. I don't have to worry about a thing. All I got to do is get my mom to where she needs to go, bring her back, and then all of these moving parts from the week. It was very stressful, but everything had worked out. I was happy with all of that. All I needed to do was see my dad, see Joanne, get my mom to her appointments, and we're done. I pull up there, and it's 1:53, and no Wally, no mom. That's weird. What is going on? How come they're not here? They're always here. So I wait till 1:57. Normally they're there by 10 to 2. I call Wally. Ring, ring. Hello? Hey, Wally, how are you? It's Eric.
Oh, not too bad. Sitting around. Watch TV.
Oh. Okay, well, are you guys ready?
Yeah. We've been waiting for Tiger baseball. You know, we're going to wait a little longer. Game doesn't start till 6 o'clock, opening day on the road against the Reds.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. What are you here for?
I'm here to, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I picked up mom for, scheduled radiation, and that is also today.
Holy gee, oh my God, I forgot. Holy crap, oh man.
I go, no worries. Just get mom and I'll see you in a second. He totally forgot. He lost track of time, forgot, no idea. So I'm like, oh shit. They all panic. I cannot believe how quickly he must have just picked my mother up and just body slammed her right into the chair and then ran as fast as he could. I couldn't believe how quickly he got down there. Next thing you know, she's there. My mom's all apologetic. I go, don't even worry about it. It's done. We're going to get there on time. We're not. It's like 2:05. The appointment starts at 2:30. No problem. Get my mom into the car. Buckle her up. Gone. Okay, great. We get to the hospital. Okay, now this is where it gets a little funny, a little bit more funny. This happens to people when they get on in years. I've talked about this. In fact, on the best of when I was in Tennessee, I had a bit that I aired with you about when I was at Discount Tire, and there was a lady who was a little older who happened to walk right by me to go. They like, hey, ma'am, so-and-so, your tires are rotated here. It's time to pick up your car. She stands up from the chair next to me. She's two chairs away. I'm sitting there with looking at my phone, and she goes walking right in front of me. And with each step, you hear, it's actually happening. And she walked right by me and didn't even slow down, didn't acknowledge the flappy, gapey farts that were flying out of her, and she did it right in my face. And I'm like, that is something that people do when they get to that point in their life. And they know it. They don't try to hide it. They just let out a mean, flappy, greasy, bubbly fart. And I'm like, oh, God. That was awful. So I'm, I've come to expect this from elderly women. They just don't care. And they also struggle to keep those in because, the equipment isn't exactly a tone. There's not that much strength there to hold them in. Mom's getting out of the car. And, guess what happened? Yeah, it happened. No big deal. This is my mother. She gave birth to me. I was right near that area where it happened the day I was born. Shouldn't be a problem, right? Then I made her laugh because she stands up. Okay, no problem, Mom. And then she starts cracking up because I said, as long as there's no lumps, right, Mom? And she just goes, ah, ha, ha, ah, ha, ooh, ha, yeah, lumps. Ah. Oh, God. Get her in the chair. Off we go. I set her. Okay. I wheel the chair over to the front. We're still outside. Lock the wheelchair. Now I got to put the car away. I don't want to be late. I hate the fact that I'm under this pressure.
you know, and then I have to peel out. She's locked into the wheelchair in front of the entrance of the place where she gets the radiation treatment. And then I peel out and I go into the parking ramp. And it seems like I've got this person in front of me as they go. It's packed inside of there. And the lady who's driving the car up the ramp is driving at half a mile an hour looking for places to park. And it's like, if it takes you that long to process why you look for a place to park and you have to move the car that slowly, you should not be driving. I scream through it like 15, 20 miles an hour up those ramps. It's simple. Just head on a swivel, look, no. If you see one, jam on the brakes and get it in there. This took forever. Okay, so that's slowing me down. Unbelievable stress. I finally get to like level 3 parking spot. Peel in there, take off. I start running through the ramp. I get to the stairwell. Just as I'm about to start going down the steps, this elderly couple decides they're going to get the day's exercise and take the stairs. And I'm like, oh, no. And they're like probably, you know, 5 minutes younger than my mom, okay? And, oh, these two just step. And I'm like, oh, I just want to just squeeze right by him. I want to shove him down the steps. I'm so sick of him. I'm like, come on. And this took forever. I'm guessing 3, 4, 5 minutes just to get down one flight. This took forever. I end up squeezing by him, run, get my mom. Where were you? Yeah, I had your kind in front of me. Any more farts we need to talk about? No. Okay, great. Go in, get screened for COVID. Off we go. We get there late. I was just so nervous, stressed. Mom gets a treatment. Okay, good to go. That's it. Done. So a lot going on. That was a Friday after the show. Then off to Great Legs. I had so much going on. Things were stacked up, one on top of the other. More on the Great Legs socially distant sort of party that happened in just a little while. As we get started this show, the Open, Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid. They fixed the embellisher. Thank you to them. Irvines.com is the website. Go there. All the amazing reviews from customers that don't have podcasts that say they are the best. And I'm telling you, man, it is. They really did a hell of a job on my dad's truck. And you can have them work on your vehicle, too. You have a trusted source. If you like this podcast, please, if your vehicle needs any type of repairs, please take it to Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid there in West Michigan along 44th Street. The side street is called Stafford, which is just east by a couple of blocks of 131. All right, you are the best. Baldwin Ace Hardware, the kings of DIY awesomeness in the Northland. They sponsor every moment. We have Diana on the show and key sponsor of the Eric Zane Show podcast. When you head up north, don't bring anything with you. Just go to Baldwin Ace Hardware, drop in, say hi, get your stuff, and off you go. Thank you, Baldwin Ace Hardware. And how about JM Synthetics? A busy weekend this weekend, Saturday, at Ionia Outdoors. It's a brand new place that is specializing in all the outdoors fun things that you hillbillies like to do. Ionia Outdoors, they had a booth set up there, and you can get AMSOIL products at Ionia Outdoors. Good group of people over there. And if you want to be able to take advantage of all the savings at jmsynthetics.com, just go to the website. If you need AMSOIL, they invented synthetic motor oil. All you DIY pros and tons of other lubricants as well. Online at jmsynthetics.com. Got to see Jason Mays and his lovely better half, Trisha. We talked about racing side-by-sides. Jason has one of those side-by-sides that, you know, two seats in the front, two seats in the back, roll cage, big fat tires. You go like 500 miles an hour down a dusty road. I want to do that so bad. I actually want one of those. I think that could eventually happen one day where I can get a side-by-side to rip up Grayling. Okay, let's talk Nazi swastika mask. Oh, boy. Of course, happened at a Walmart. Strangely enough, it happened in Minnesota. You know, where the whole race war really kicked off with the death of George Floyd, that murder that we saw on the street, that terrible thing. So, you know, basically we've got the strangest year ever with the pandemic, race war, everybody wearing a mask. Well, when those two things collide with stupidity, what you have is people wearing masks with Nazi swastikas on them. So red mask, white circle, a black swastika turned at an angle to it's the flag. It's a Nazi flag made to be a mask. My God. And in the video, I'll link it up on In the News and in the show notes of the audio podcast. You got these two fat idiots wearing the swastika masks, but it becomes clear, you have to actually read what the lady with the mask is saying to understand where she's coming from. She has this weird way of trying to rally support for Donald Trump. I'm not sure that she's actually a Nazi, but all you see is fat, ugly bitch with her fat, ugly husband putting their giant cheese ball canisters into the bag and paying for them, is that they're wearing swastikas, Nazi swastikas around their faces. Nobody knows who these people are because they're able to keep their identity. So people have tried to out them. There's no outing them because no one knows who these idiots are. But so they're going through the store. They're wearing the Nazi mask. Somebody confronts them and they say, yeah, you don't know why we're wearing this. Well, I know why you're wearing this. You're a Nazi. No. We're here. We're wearing this because this is what it'll be like if Joe Biden is president. So in a weird way, they're like throwing their support for Trump by role playing. They're like acting that Joe Biden is going to be a Nazi. Is that what I'm understanding here? The audio that you'll hear is of the guy shooting the video. He and the chick that he's with say literally way too much, of course, because they're young. But this is how it goes.
You're sick. Yeah, you're sick. You have an illness. You can't be.
I agree. She has an illness. She's giving him the finger now.
Be American and wear that mask. You cannot. We literally had a war about this.
I kill Nazis.
You hear another guy give her the finger back. And he says, I kill Nazis. This is so screwed up.
You're wearing a swastika. You're sick.
You're literally wearing a Nazi flag right now.
Yeah, because that's going to happen here in America.
You're sick.
Yeah,
you literally had a war about this. The Nazis lost.
For good reason.
All right.
Please.
All right. So the voices you hear, the lady and the dude saying you're sick. There are a couple of young people. They're like under 30. That's why they said literally every other word. Mueller. Okay. Wait a minute here. Rafaela Mueller was strolling through Walmart on Saturday morning when a brief glimpse of two other shoppers in the Marshall, Minnesota store stopped her dead in her tracks. Fighting through disbelief that nearly rendered her speechless, Mueller, 24, who was born and raised in Germany, turned to her partner and blurted out a single question. Wait, are those people wearing swastikas on their masks? When the young couple again encountered the man and woman who were indeed sporting bright red facial coverings that had the Nazi flag, Mueller had no trouble finding her voice. Let's see. The older pair, who were not formally identified, have since been banned from all Walmart stores for at least a year. Disgraceful, plain and simple. Tweet said, sharing a news article about the clash. Thank you to the bystanders who stood up to this unacceptable hate-fueled behavior.
Senator from Minnesota, Tina Smith, similarly denounced the pair of flaunting the hate symbol associated with the Nazis, tweeting, "This isn't us. This isn't the Minnesota I love." I just can't get over the boldness of people. The lady, let's see. The lady who was wearing the mask, that was her take. She walks slowly toward the couple while the partner briefly lifts his arms in apparent defiance and keeps unloading items from the cart. She says, "I'm trying to tell people what's going to happen in America." The man chimes in, "We're living under a socialist state." It's that whole stupid thing. He's got a Trump shirt on. And it's like, if you're going to be a Trump supporter and you don't like Joe Biden, I don't think wearing the Nazi flag and hoping that people will be able to figure out what the hell you're trying to say is going to work at it. How we can't read your mind. If that is the case, and I doubt it is, why are you going to leave that to chance that you can be walking around and everybody thinks that you're a freaking Nazi? What a stupid, weirdo way to try to say that you don't want Joe Biden in office. She says, "If you vote for Biden, you're going to be living in Nazi Germany." The woman continues, referring to former Vice President Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. "That's what it's going to be like." Ignoring exclamations from the two, the woman kept arguing, telling them that socialism is going to happen here in America. "We don't want you in our neighborhood," the third customer tells the woman, raising her voice. The woman shouts back, "You're not getting it. I'm not a Nazi, you fucking moron." Oh, God, I don't know how people don't get beat up. Honestly, to actually be walking through with a Nazi swastika and not get beaten up is a freaking accomplishment. Phew. So, all right. This month, there have been at least 20 reports of anti-Semitic incidents nationwide. According to the Anti-Defamation League's online tracker, swastikas have appeared in some form in a majority of the cases, which range from vandalism to Zoom bombing, had that happen once, or the hacking of online gatherings taking place over video chat. So, all right, here we go. Just ridiculous. Wearing a freaking swastika into the Walmart and hoping that it works out. What is wrong with people? All right, let's lighten it up. Yesterday was a field trip for the Queen of the Forest and myself. Allison Dieters, who runs the show over at Harbor Humane, said, "I want you to come out and see what we do." And I said, "All right, that sounds like a plan." We got there at 11 o'clock, and there's one moment in this story that I cannot wait to tell you about, nor can I wait for you to see, because I shot video of the whole thing. Now, the idea here is record everything, produce a video, which usually takes me forever, but I think I can get this one done quite quickly, and then have it all made up and put it on YouTube. And so that's exactly what I did. And in this, you get to see at this no-kill shelter, the various dogs that are there. Some are elderly. You got a few old souls that are there that are waiting your adoption. You'll be able to see them on the video. I learned in the video while we were walking through that there's not a ton of puppies. And that's a good thing, because what they're learning at places like Harbor Humane and at Harbor Humane is that people have been getting the message about getting pets spayed and neutered. So here in Michigan, that doesn't happen nearly as much. Now, in some of the more rural areas, yes, and in a lot of some states haven't quite gotten to the point like we are here with that exact same message. You go to various portions of the country, and the dogs are running everywhere. And they're not spayed or neutered, so you have new puppies showing up all the damn time. But here we seem to have a lid on that. But there's a lot of great pups that are dogs that are up for adoption at Harbor Humane. You can get more information at their website, harborhumane.org. But I did shoot video of them, and I shot a lot of video of cats and also their setup there, what they've done to actually do this. It's a great, great place. I just love it. A lot of volunteer help, a lot of people working, but they saved something for me on my visit as a surprise that they wanted me to see. And I'm going to tell you about it right now. This is incredible. They have behind the facility outdoors a lot of space, like trees, brush, and when you go out, there's the various outdoor enclosures when they want to give the dog some sun. But they have a feral cat community. And over the years, they've accumulated, like if there's a feral cat in the neighborhood and it gets dropped off at Harbor Humane, they put it in the feral cat community. This is way different than an indoor domesticated cat because they can fend for themselves and they roam around outside. So it's incredible because you go out there and what she wanted to show me was feeding time. And they bring out several big bowls of cat food. And it's like some crazy utopian cat world where they just come like flying everywhere out to the bowls. And I mean, all of a sudden you see all these faces pop up because they know it's feeding time and they're already hungry because I made them late because I was taking my time in the tour. Feeding time is supposed to be around 11. It's like 11:45. And man, this was incredible. All these cats are from everywhere. All these, you got a calico here, a gray tabby here, brown tabby. Oh, there's a Persian. Everywhere, cats. Some friendly, some hate you, but there, it's, if you're, oh my God, this was great. It was so much fun. And you're just sitting there swarmed by cats everywhere. I've got it on video too. I'll be able to show it on the video when I get that thing made. So, you know, they have hundreds of cats there and they stay in the area. And what they do is they get the cats and they get spayed or neutered and they just stay there because they know that they've got it made. Now, some do wander off, but I just found it so cool that this is the thing. I had no idea that this is how that they do it to ensure to keep these animals safe. Now, you know what they also do? If you're like a person, let's say you got a farm or whatever, or maybe your house is over, the outside has a lot of rodents. You go there and adopt one of these bad boys and you just put it in. They call them mousers. And these, like I had a mouser. I had a buddy Bobcat Face before he lost his eyes and had to be put down. You got a mouser. Oh my God. They murder. They are just effective killers around your property. So that's just something to think about. Harborhumane.org is their website. I cannot wait to put that video together for you to show you that one part. Very, very cool. Okay. We got a lot more stuff to get to. First of all, I want to mention this. If you enjoy the show on Facebook, like right now I've got I usually have a pretty fair number for me. I mean, I'm not exactly the biggest show in the world, but I got like 39 of you watching on Facebook. So, all right, that's good enough for your old pal, Eric. But if you could, while you're on Facebook, throw me up on YouTube as well. All right. You can just get to it. Just search Eric Zane Show on YouTube. I got 9 people watching on YouTube. Tyler is saying, is the mic not connected or something? Oh, boy. Tom says the sound sucks. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to end the video and come back, okay? And then I'll on the audio, you won't even hear it. You'll just be like, "Hey, what happened?" So I'm going to end the video and come back with you. I have no idea what's going on. Sorry about that, folks. Thank you for the heads up. Okay. Regroup, wanted to take a break anyway. That's all it was. I just wanted to take a break. You know what's funny is I went back and I opened up Facebook after I got out of the first live video. And then I went and clicked on the Facebook video and it was fine. So that was a little weird. I might have jumped the gun on it and Kenny said it was all fine on his end. And Dean says it was good as well on Facebook, so maybe it was only YouTube. I didn't get a chance to listen to that one. Still poor audio on YouTube, according to Patriot Nick. Sorry. Damn it. Yeah, hey, watch me on YouTube where the audio sucks. Shit. Well, you know how it is. Occasionally dealing with this show, sometimes things we get in the weeds for, and it's like, I don't even know what happened. All right. So anyway, getting back to the Harbor Humane thing, the cat thing was, Allison is great over there, her and her staff. They just do an amazing job. I really enjoyed the tour. The Queen of the Forest and I went through. She got to hold puppies. She wanted to take one home, of course. God, were they cute. It's not that often that they have puppies, but they had a dog that just had them. So, all right. They will be available for adoption very soon. They've got probably about 6 to 8 puppies. So if a puppy is your thing, I'm not even going to try to figure out what type of dogs they were, because they were pretty mixed. Hell, one even had 2 different colored eyes. It was such a mixed breed. 2 different color eyes going. Incredible. All right. We've got an IT service provider on the show. You know it. It's Blue Frost IT. Online at bluefrostit.com. If your small or medium-sized business needs any service, okay, maybe you need new tech. Maybe your tech is outdated. Maybe you there's so much wrong with this setup. We need a professional in here. We have exhausted. Hell, I need it right now to figure out why my sound is the way it is. I unplugged all this stuff to take it over to my dad's. I come back, and now it's screwy. Sorry about that. Blue Frost IT, online at bluefrostit.net, the managed IT service provider for the Eric Zane Show podcast. When you reach out to them, please mention that you heard it on the show. Finally, small and medium-sized business has an IT department. You're not thrown to the wolves, and then you can't just go around holding your keeping your fingers crossed, hoping that your IT just keeps working. If it goes south on you, you have a team that can help you. Blue Frost IT. Van Dyke Mortgage, Mario Flores and his Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage are ready to help you if you are in the market for a first mortgage, 10th mortgage, refi, whatever it may be. Call upon the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. NMLS number 3035. They've been doing this since 1987. Van Dyke Mortgage is all over the place, ready to serve you. Nationwide company. Really, really fantastic. Plug into the services of the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. If you want more information, go to their logo at ericzaneshow.com and click on it. It'll take you right to their page. Much the same for Green Clean Technologies LLC. I murdered that. Green Clean Technologies LLC. They've sponsored the email on the show, the Green Clean Technologies inbox. And if your business has a data center, you call upon these guys to get it clean. Great business in business for you. If you have a data center like at a bank, hospital, school, keep the data center clean if you want to keep the data intact. Thank you. Green Clean Technologies, LLC. All right. We got to talk about the party on Friday night at Great Legs Winery, Brewery, and Distillery. And we have another one scheduled, by the way. It is coming up on the 21st of August. It's a Friday. Friday, August 21. Kyler, nice boobs, Kyler, was like, hey, you know, why don't you guys do one on the weekend?
Nice boobs, Kyler.
Dude, what do you want? That Friday night is the weekend.
Nice boobs, Kyler.
We'll see you on the 21st at Great Legs. This one did not let down. I'm an idiot. Well, I'm not an idiot. I tried my best to get there on time, but I couldn't. I got there about 20 minutes late after driving across the state to get there. But the Queen of the Forest got there early with the crew. Sarah got her there. Thank you to you. And we even had Melinda come all the way up from Tennessee. That was such a kind gesture. Really, really great. I'm like, wait a minute. And I go walking up to her table and I'm like, something's funny here. I know you. And I want to just blurt out Melinda, but that can't be. There's no way you would. But then I'm like, wait a minute. These are the Zaniacs. They do stuff like this all the time. And she goes, I just saw you 2 weeks ago. I go, Melinda, oh my God, what are you doing? This is incredible. She drove all the way up to hang out with the crew. And a lot of the usual faces were there. Thank you. You guys are a great, great backbone for this show. Jacob Bennett and his wife, Sonia, were there. And they went ahead and in order to infuse Great Legs with some cash, they spent like $100 on these beer glasses with the Great Legs logo on it. And Jacob said, give them away to everybody. So I've got a few left over. If you left early, I owe you a glass. If you did not get a glass, you got to let me know because I've got a glass for you. So thanks to them. And yeah, man, it was revelry. It was a good time. It was a lot of yelling. We kind of owned the place, and they actually kept it open for us. They don't even have it open that late, and they said you take as much time as you want. We got out of there, started about 7 o'clock, ended about 10, went and picked up some tacos. Jason Chafer did just down the street. Nice guy, fantastic. Feeds everybody. Oh, it was a bash, and we will do it again coming up on August 21st. Okay, so we get through another weekend here in Michigan of mask wearing. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not there should be a federal mask mandate. You know, I'm done talking about that part of it. I just wear mine, do my best. And frankly, I don't even really think about it that much anymore. When we were at Great Legs, I had to keep reminding myself to put the mask on. And, you know, it was good to kind of let loose. And I think everything worked out great. But still, this is the thing. This is the thing that I think that we have to be very, very cognizant of. And in that setting, it's a little bit harder to do that, but we do our best. But one of the things that's gotten me is the idea that if you're in a business, a locally owned business, and people come in, it's one thing to tell people, hey, mask up. Or have a sign that says no mask, no service. I get that. It's a problem that people don't recognize that and still try to do it, knowing full well that the business isn't there to try to break one off in you. I like the fact that the business can say, you know, it ain't our fault. You're going to have to take that up with the governor in whatever state, if you happen to have a state that has this happen. Because in Michigan, you go in, you're not going to get service. They're going to ask you to leave. And I like I've said before, it's been, I think people have... they've done it kicking and screaming, but for the most part, they're following that. And so are the businesses. So you go to any ice cream shop anywhere, it's going to be staffed with kids. My daughter works at an ice cream shop. It's always, you know, the local teenagers working there for the summer, usually girls. So, you know, if you have a problem with masks, you know, it's not the fault of the people that own the business. And if you then take it out on the 17-year-old girl, what the hell is wrong with you? There's an ice cream shop right here in town where the lady who owns the store is having to deal with this. But I think she's kind of a problem too. And this is what I mean by that. If you own an ice cream shop and you have a bunch of young people working there and you know how this is going, you know that people are being assholes to your employees, going on Facebook to give everybody a lecture about it is not going to help you in any way. All that is just going to get you a little bit of attention. Maybe that's her goal. If you're really concerned about your employees, you don't go to the news and to Facebook to tell everybody. You yourself have to populate the place and be there, or have someone to represent you who is an adult and equipped more to handle belligerent 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 something year old people who are too stupid to follow the rules. So if I own an ice cream shop and I've got a bunch of 16, 17 and 18 year old young ladies working there, there's no way in hell I'm going to have them trying to defend the mask order and kicking people out like that. I'm not going to put them in that place. I'm not going to make this a bad experience for them. I'm going to spend the hours that I'm there at the shop next to the door with the sign that says no ice cream, no mask, or no mask, no ice cream. And when they walk in, say, can you put your mask on? No? Well, then you can't come in. You're the one who's going to be the defense from dickhead customer who won't wear the mask to the young staff. And if you can't do that, well, then you don't be open. You don't put those kids in harm's way. Do you,
Now, right now, there's so many belligerent assholes in the world who are willing to go the extra mile to try to be a dickhead to some 18-year-old kid. I don't want to. I'm not going to risk that. That's the fault of the business owner at this point. If you want to go out on your boat while the three 17-year-olds are running your store and you're not going to expect something bad to happen, I'm either not open or I'm there. This lady decided to go to Facebook to bitch about it instead of actually doing that. So I think there's a lot of idiocy all the way around in this story.
Well, mask requirements have become a source of division around the country and, of course, right here in West Michigan. The owner of a local ice cream shop says multiple unruly customers caused them to take to social media and defend their employees.
News 8's John Dommel gives us a look at how the front porch in Spring Lake is handling this mask mandate.
Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
I am not political. I'm an ice cream store. We serve everyone, and we're happy to do so.
Yeah.
I'm thrown in the middle of this as a small business owner.
The mask requirements have been around for nearly 2 weeks, and it's become a political sore spot, especially for jobs handling the public. And that means enforcement often falls on teenagers. And after customer confrontations with her young staff started becoming the norm, the owner of the front porch called those people out on her ice cream shop's social media page.
I don't know what to do with them, quite honestly, and neither do, you know, 16 to 20-year-olds. That's not their job, and it shouldn't be.
In her post, she says police had to be called in order to remove one set of customers from the store who are taking out their frustrations on her largely teenage staff.
I have to protect my employees, I have to protect my customers, and I have to...
So I'm going to Facebook.
...stay in business, and if I don't follow the law, I don't get to stay in business.
In Spring Lake, John Dommel, News 8.
I have a problem with how she's handling it. I mean, to me, this problem is solved if she's there. If an older person is there to diffuse these issues. You know, because younger people don't exactly have a defiant foot. You know, not every young person has the ability to diffuse irate idiot who's, you know, 45-year-old guy. You know, I don't want them having to do that. If that's the case, now Madison is lucky. She works at a place where it's when they walk up to the window, they're outdoors, so they don't. I don't think that the customers have to mask up at that point because they're outdoors. But I'm telling you, if I had a business, there is no way in hell this would ever be an issue because it's real simple. It would stop at the door. If I detect, and the thing is, I would be such an asshole about it because I'd be sitting there watching and, you know, I'd be sizing people up and it's like, okay, this guy is going to be a problem. I can tell just by his attitude when he gets out of the truck and he's not wearing the mask and he doesn't even have one around his neck or anything. I know he's going to be a problem. I would love that job. If you have a business that you need a barker at the door to tell people to mask up, hire me to do that. All you need is to have a video camera so we can go Facebook Live on the whole thing, and I will tell your customers to mask up or get out. All right. HBO is a show that's been out since May, and I'm just now getting around to watching it. Oh, my gosh. Thank you to Aram in Nashville, Tennessee, one of my Armenian brothers, who suggested I watch Chernobyl. Okay, this is just terrifying. 1986, April of 1986, the nuclear power plant in this one town, Pripyat, I think it's called, in Russia. Actually, it was near Belarus. I don't know. No, it was near Kiev, Ukraine. Holy cow, the Chernobyl nuclear power plant meltdown. Who could possibly forget that unless you're not of age? You don't know what it is. I mentioned this to Madison. She goes, now they've never taught us about that. I go, holy crap. The amount of desperation and the possibility of a unbelievable explosion that could have taken place, even worse than the one that actually damaged the building, is incredible. This is... quite a thing. It was more than 30 years ago that
incident happen that they had to evacuate the town, but that's not the only story. They narrowly dodged a bullet in it being even worse. And if you're going to watch the show on HBO Chernobyl, I'll spare you all the details because I don't want to spoil it completely for you. But this is a real life dramatization, minute by minute, of shit that actually happened. And I think one of the things that stands out to me is the unknowing nature of the fire that was being fought the night that it blew up, and what the exposure to all that radiation did to those people in short order. Oh my God. It also shines a light on the secrecy back then, and I don't know if it's like that now, of the way the Soviets were about, you know, covering shit up, because it especially in their world, early on, they would have wanted nothing more than to roll the dice on the health issues that could have happened in hopes that this never gets out to the world. But it did get out to the world because satellite imagery showed that there was a problem, and there was other countries complaining about nuclear fallout affecting their airspace and their atmospheres, I mean, nearby countries, because it all blew over. Oh, my God. There was one scene that I had to fast forward through it. After they got all the people out of the city, you had to leave all your pets because your pets were contaminated. And then the army had to go through and just shoot all the animals. Cows, chickens, birds, dogs, cats. Oh, God. Could not handle that. This is a 5-episode show. It's kind of weird because everybody speaks English in it, even though in real life, you know, they all spoke Russian. Some of them even seem like they have British accents, but that's the only thing. Other than that, it's acted perfectly. Really, really good show. Dark as hell, scary, ominous, 100% true. And you can even to this day, well, up until recently, you could not visit Chernobyl or the nearby city that was evacuated. But now they actually have opened that place up to tourists because it's a complete ghost town. They went through and just with buses, and they brought all the buses in, and then the army came in and said, come on out. You got to leave. We're evacuating for a day or two. And they took all these people out, and they never returned home. And so you've got like pots of water on the stove. There's no fire. There's like a dinner plate with food on it that hasn't been touched because no one would dare go to the place for years. And the facility, the actual Chernobyl nuclear power plant where the incident happened, they ended up building a sarcophagus, which was a gigantic structure over it, to try to keep the fallout in there. And then that started to deteriorate because the radiation broke it down very, very fast. They had to build another one over it. So the plant is just sitting there, and you don't dare go in there because, you know, even just like 90 seconds of exposure to what is still very active, all the nuclear materials, I mean, you'd be dead in a week. It's like, fuck, why would anybody even risk going there on like a tourist trip, even to just drive by it? People that were fighting the fire, they didn't last long. They died shortly thereafter. If you lived in the area, your life was shortened dramatically. You likely developed cancer, all the DNA mutations that would take place. Very, very scary shit. You know, I've often been like, nuclear power is the way to go. But when I saw this thing, I was like, oh, boy, I don't know if it is. Bring me the coal-fired power plant. Yikes. You must see Chernobyl. Very, very good. Thank you, Aram. All right, we got a lot more to talk about, including Regis Philbin is dead. My God, 88 years old. Horizon Hydroponics, thanks to them. They've been on board with the show for quite some time. Go to their website, horizonhydroponics.com, for everything you need for, of course, growing stuff indoors. And, you know, I know how it is. Some people might be like, hey, I grow marigolds. Yeah, whatever. But most of the crew that are going to go to Horizon Hydroponics are going to go there because they want to grow the best cannabis. In the great state of Michigan, you can freaking have a forest in your house now. Thank you, Horizon Hydroponics. They have everything you need to grow the best stuff. I don't, but you might. I tried it once, and I killed it. All right. For orders $250 in order, you get free shipping, by the way, and they've got stores where you can shop in person. Alpine, Grand Rapids, the Growers Outlet, and Byron Center, and then Kalamazoo and Lansing. Horizon Hydroponics. We got A&D Cleaning. You can check them out on my website. Just click on their logo if you want your house clean. And BK Guns and Stuff, the gunsmith for the Eric Zane Show podcast. I was just talking with Benjamin the other day, and because my dad has a handgun he wants to sell. He goes, yeah, you'll probably be able to get a lot of money for that because handguns are in high demand. In fact, all guns are in high demand. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, ever since the pandemic, everybody's been buying all the guns. He said a lot of his customers show up with shotguns, and they want him to convert them into a home defense model. He can do that. Terrific gunsmith, him and his wife, Kyle. BK Guns and Stuff. All right, Regis is dead. Holy crap. Regis Philbin, 88 years old. Was doing some research on Philbin. He passed away from natural causes, as he said. Went to Notre Dame, made a big deal about that on his show. It goes way back in television. Yeah, according to the wiki, it says in his earliest show business work, Philbin was a page. I'm not even sure what a page does. I think you're like an intern on The Tonight Show in 1955. He later wrote for Los Angeles-based talk show Tom Duggan. And one night, Duggan, who was known to be just a lush, got completely shit-faced, and he said, I'm not coming in. So Philbin's like 23 years old, and the show's boss goes, we need somebody to do the show. Regis, you're doing it. He's like, what? They made Regis Philbin do the show. They said he nervously filled in as the hard-drinking Duggan didn't show up. There needs to be footage of that. I would love to see that, of him sitting there all fidgety, not knowing. Boom goes the dynamite. He was also an announcer on The Tonight Show in 1962. In 1957, though, Philbin left his job as assistant news editor to some guy named Baxter Ward at KCOP Los Angeles to make his fortune in New York. His replacement at KCOP was George Van Valkenburg. Philbin's first talk show was known as the Regis Philbin Show in 1961 on KOGO-TV in San Diego. The show didn't have any money, so there was no writing staff. So he had to basically come up with everything on his own. Imagine that, doing a TV show, great big city like San Diego. I know it's 1961 or whatever year, it doesn't matter. Still, that's a lot of pressure. So it's basically, he's a one-man show. Had no writing staff, so he, in order to make the time, he decided to do something that's very near and dear to yours truly. I felt actually pretty warm when I heard he had this idea, because this is all I've done since I've ever been in front of a microphone, is what I'm about to tell you right now. He began each show with what became his hallmark, the host chat segment. Where he engaged his audience in discussions about his life and the day's events. So I'm like, yes, that's fucking beautiful. That's what you do. You sit there and you get these people invested. You talk about what's going on in your world. You make it interesting. Try as best you can to make it interesting. Don't suck at it and get good. That's what he did. And he was able to make an entire career out of that. That is awesome. In 1964, Westinghouse Broadcasting picked up his show for national syndication in the late night time slot, replacing Steve Allen. The show failed to attract many stations, and Westinghouse replaced Philbin with I can relate to that as well. They replaced him with Merv Griffin. All right, so then he's like, shit, man, I suck. What am I going to do? He goes on to get a network TV gig in 1967, as Joey Bishop's sidekick on the Joey Bishop Show. Hey, oh! The show, nobody watched it, though, because they were going up against some pretty big hitters. Johnny Carson was really taking off. So the Joey Bishop Show was getting slaughtered by Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon. Now, in that show, Bishop would constantly bust Regis Philbin's balls. And then one night on the show, Philbin got butthurt about it. Okay, it was all supposed to be in good fun. Bishop would playfully tease Philbin, who would take the barbs in stride. But then one night, Philbin got really offended, and he called Joey Bishop out on it. Now, I want to see that. And then he quit. On TV, he freaking quit. He got butt hurt by what Bishop was saying, and then he said, fuck you, I'm leaving. And I'm like, oh my God, how come we haven't seen this? He got hurt, apparently, because he learned from the network Grapevine that ABC executives were dissatisfied with his work and because of his thick East Coast accent. So during the open of a one program in 1968, that's exactly what he did. He did an unplanned diatribe about not being wanted and his feelings were hurt and letting down the program. And then he just quit. He walked off. A few nights later, assured by Bishop that all was well and that it was not personal, Philbin returned to the show. So they were able to coax him back. However, revealed later on, it was all a stunt. It was a freaking wacky radio stunt to try to draw people over from Carson's show. It was kicking everybody's ass. They planned it all out. It was a work. He reiterates the assertion in his 2011 memoir, How I Got This Way, explaining that it was intended to draw some of that attention. Bishop's show was canceled short time after. Bishop returned the favor and walked off the show on the air unannounced, leaving Philbin to successfully carry the night on his own. And then we all know him from his time with Kathy Lee and then later Kelly. The guy was great. It just, everybody loved that guy. Lived a real private life. Not a lot of people knew about it. He had a son that preceded him in death. The kid had a lot of health issues. The son had some type of disability that made it so that he had to have both of his legs amputated. Really, really smart guy, but passed away when he was 49, tragically. But this guy was great, man. He did a lot of things in TV, and he will be sorely missed. The one and only Regis Philbin passes. All right. I got an email from Ken who wanted to weigh in on something that I talked about on Friday, because part of what I talked about, I think it was Friday, it might have been Thursday, I was talking about Kanye and what went down with him with this presidential run, and he's been going crazy, dogging on his wife and his wife's mom, and it's just been a mess. And, you know, the guy is manic depressive. He has bipolar disorder. So, you know, the markers of that, as we talked about, are we've all seen the low points when people are really down in the dumps. Oh, my God, it's the end of the world. And then the high points are kind of masked sometimes because of, you might think, well, this is great. You know, this is what he wants. It's not, though. It's really, really strange. And from what I'm learning, much harder to identify. Okay. And what this is, I don't have it. And I haven't had much experience with people who have had it, but Zaniac Ken has. And so, you know, it's real easy when you see West acting like an asshole to just say, hey, he's acting like an asshole. And it is true. I think he is kind of one, but the whole thing about when he's throwing Harriet Tubman under the bus and when he's saying that if you're going to have an abortion and then you decide that you don't want to, you should get $1 million. That may all be something that he's not even going to recall because it's part of a manic episode. Could very well be. But everybody thinks, oh, no, he's just an asshole. It's not so easy. Ken writes this. Zane, my brother is like this. Bipolar disorder. Made worse by injuries while in the Army. Day in, day out struggle for not only the person, but those around them who love them dearly. My brother's wife and I are his only real support in this matter. He refuses to take the drugs that will quote-unquote help him. The medication that they gave him takes away all feeling. What's the point in living if you can't feel the highs and lows in life? Now, I've heard that that talked about before. A lot of people are like, well, they won't take the medicine, man. It's their fault. And I've heard what he's describing described by others before, and that what they do is, as opposed to the medicine, you surround the person who's manic depressive, depending on their severity, with like a network of people that they're constantly with to be reminding them of behavior and things like that. And that's actually an easier solution to some. I'm no doctor. I'm just saying that's what I've been told that has been done to some people, because I've heard that complaint as well about the medicine. You're just kind of numb, you know? It takes away all those highs and lows. Yeah, but it might not be the thing for all people, as Kenneth indicates. He continues, everyone talks about the depressive episodes, the suicidal thoughts, the self-destructive behavior, but no one really talks about the manic highs. Feeling like you are the king of the world has its own, but equally detrimental effects. Overspending, causing financial issues, feeling bulletproof, so you put yourself in harm's way to feel that rush of adrenaline, just to name a few. Wow, incredible. He says, I want to say thanks for shining some light on the bipolar disorder, and more so, the real issues with the manic highs, as they are mostly overlooked with people who address the problem. I have seen the highs cause more issues in his life than the lows. Wow. And some days it's hard to bring him back down to earth. As with all things I bring up, if you want more info, feel free to reach out to me. This particular topic is not something my brother hides and is not afraid to speak about his experiences. So I can ask him anything you want to know, and he'll give you an honest, true answer from the perspective of a man who lives on the roller coaster of bipolar disorder. Signed, Ken in Florida. Great email, man. That is a fine example of kind of like the things that make this show go. The fact that you took the story and then chronicled what you've gone through and then reached out to me, and so that the audience can share more. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. I also got an email from Bleeding Heart Brian. He said, hey, I know the person. Wait, what did he say? I think he described it as, I worked with the guy who this woman had a hit out on. He still works for this company, but in the Nashville, Tennessee area. The headline, Michigan woman accused of attempting to hire hitman to kill ex-husband. Wendy Wayne, who looks like shit, didn't like her husband. So she wanted to kill him. So now you're thinking all the time, you hear about somebody who runs into someone at a bar who looks it's in the wrong side of town. Lady picks him out and says, hey, you interested in killing somebody for me? Yeah, sure. Gives him money. Guy goes and turns her in. You know, that happens all the time. Or maybe somebody is actually interested and then changes the mind at the last second and turns a person in. This woman did not go about it that way. All she did was went to a website called hireahitman.com. And there's a form there that says, do you want to hire a hitman? Put your information here. She did. She said, yeah, I want to kill my ex-husband. Please reach out to me. All of a sudden, the cops knock on the door. She's in custody. The whole thing is a scam.
It's a spoof website. This guy built the website just to see how many idiots there were in the world. And every day, somebody hires a hitman. And he just turns around and gives the info to the cops. It's just some guy who did it on a lark. At first, I thought it was some undercover sting. But the cops were probably like, no, no one's that stupid. No, they are. They really are that stupid. I love this story. A South Rockwood woman has been arraigned in court after being accused of attempting to hire a hitman on a fake internet website to kill her ex-husband. Wendy Wayne, 51, charged with solicitation to commit murder and illegal use of a computer to facilitate a crime after recently contacting a false service claiming to offer hitmen to, quote, solve problems, according to the Michigan State Police. She completed a service request form on the website and requested a consultation to help her with an issue. She specified her ex-husband as the target of her problems. She's expected to return to court on Wednesday of this week for a probable cause conference. The defendant indicated that her mother needs to hire an attorney for her daughter on July 17th. Wayne reportedly contacted the website, which of course is not legitimate, after targeting the ex-husband as the root of her problems. The owner of the website turned around and called the cops because he was concerned. An undercover state trooper posing as a hitman met with Wayne in a parking lot in South. Hey, I heard you signed up. Yeah, I'm your guy. Thanks. Yeah, sure. She offered to pay him $5,000 to murder the ex-husband. She was arrested right after that. Boy, you know, if you're a cop and you get this type of work, if you're like the undercover guy, you're thinking, man, that's the rewarding thing. That would be so exciting to realize you're with such a stupid-ass person and you've got him. Man, that would be fun. Since he started the website in 05, the dude who owns rentahitman.com told police he's been contacted numerous times by people requesting murders, school shootings, and even a baby abduction. My gosh. He claims the website has been responsible for preventing over 130 murders because he refers all requests for hitmen over to law enforcement. Wayne remains in jail on $500,000 cash bond. That is just amazing. It's amazing that even one person would do that. How dumb do you have? If you're dumb enough to want to kill somebody or try to kill somebody or that stupid or blinded by whatever it is that's causing you to do that or just that dumb. Oh, my God. And you do that? How? I'm just shocked. I'm continually shocked by the repeated stupidity of people that we learn new stories about each and every day. And it seems to be getting worse. Hey, Metalworks Body Shop. If you need to fix your RV, that's where you go. We are in the Metalworks Body Shop Fear Bunker Studio. They fix RVs. Doesn't matter the size. They do it all. Motorhomes, travel trailers, fifth wheels. Kind of like an offshoot of my friends at Terrytown RV, but they work with everybody. They're the best. They got a gigantic spray booth. They want to make sure that your RV is in good shape. Metalworks Body Shop is in Coopersville, Michigan. If you go and click on their link with that logo at ericzaneshow.com, it'll take you right to their Facebook page where they've got a lot of great of examples of before and after photos. Thank you for the hat, by the way. This is the Metalworks Body Shop hat. And if you just go to my website, click on that, it'll take you to their Facebook page. They also have a website, metalworksbodyshop.com. That sucks when you crack it up, so get it taken care of, and it'll be good as new. And then, today is, now we are 2 days out from the COVID uprising. Eric Zane Show podcast, Paintball War number 8 at TC Paintball. We're playing outdoors on Wednesday. It starts at 6 p.m., goes to 9 p.m. If you want to go, you can click on the event that is pinned to the top of my Facebook page and indicate that you're going, and then meet me there at 6 p.m. at TC Paintball in Grand Rapids. or just RSVP via email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. We got a pretty good-sized crew this time, so the Battle Royale against Rick from TC Paintball is going to be a lot of fun. Outdoors, I cannot wait. It's going to set you back $35. You get the field time. You get all the tournament play that we'll be having, prizes to give away. Also, a pizza party beforehand. You get the paint, you get the mask, you get the gun, all for the $35. You don't have to use theirs. You can bring yours as well. And that's coming up on Wednesday at TC Paintball. Okay, folks, that is it for a Monday. I'm going to get out of this, regroup, try to figure out what's going on with the YouTube. My God, sorry. If you could, please follow the show, subscribe on YouTube. Find me on YouTube, Eric Zane Show, and subscribe to the channel, and then click on the bell so you get the notifications when we go live. Also, if you could go and subscribe, rate, and review my podcast, throw 5 stars at me and give me a review, that would be fun. Submit your stories to me, eric@ericzaneshow.com. If you want to contribute to the show, that does help me, man. If you have a story you think I can find interesting, please send it along. All right, folks, back in the Fear Bunker studio once again. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you down the road. Bye-bye.